One, two, three, four,
Love
five.
Talk Radio.
You got it. Go ahead.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. I'm Apostle Dr. John Newsome. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive here in Houston, Texas. I'd like to invite you to come out and worship with us. Our Sunday services begin at 10:30 a.m. and our Wednesday night Bible studies begin at 7 p.m. I'd love to see your face in the place. I'd like to say hello to Apostle Hunter and all those who are listening all around the world. How are you doing, Apostle?
I'm blessed, Pastor. How are you doing?
I'm doing so wonderful. I'm doing 100% better.
Amen.
And now if you have your Bibles, please turn your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1, and let's look at verse 21. I thank you very much for the prayer that you gave me the other day, Apostle Hunter. I tell you, that prayer worked. The encouraging words worked. All that worked. I've been laid up with the flu for the last 2 weeks, and I feel 100% better now.
Well,
I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your prayer.
Sir. Thank you. I figure you do the same for me. God bless you.
I tell you, prayer works.
Yes, sir.
Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee." God has something set before you, all you who are listening all around the world. God has something that's set before you. "Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers have said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged." Fear not, neither be discouraged. God says, I have some things for you. And in order to go and possess whatever God has for you, you can't be standing in fear and you can't be discouraged. Because
Amen.
If you're in fear, you won't move. If you're discouraged, you won't move. You won't go and possess the things that God has for you. That Hebrew word discouraged is kathoth. That's
kathoth.
The Hebrew word for discouraged, kathoth. And it means to lose enthusiasm. Keep your enthusiasm. It means to be shattered. Don't fall to pieces when things get hard in life. A lot of people fall to pieces. And therefore, they don't go after the things that God has set before them to possess. Don't lose your enthusiasm. If you lose your enthusiasm, you won't move. You won't push forward to possess what God has for you. That word discouraged in Hebrew is kathoth, and it means to be shattered. Don't fall to pieces, in other words. Don't lose enthusiasm. It means to be afraid. So God is saying, don't be afraid. It means to be terrified. Don't be terrified. You know, if you become terrified in your situation, you won't move. It's terrified if you're like paralyzed and you won't move on the things that God has set before you. You won't move. You won't go after them. So God is encouraging those who are listening today, us today, he's encouraging us not to be discouraged. Kathoth is the Hebrew word for discouraged. It means to lose enthusiasm. It means to be shattered, to fall to pieces. It means to be dismayed, confused. It means to be afraid or beaten down or terrified. So God is saying, don't be terrified. Don't lose your enthusiasm. Don't be discouraged because of the situation and how things look right now. Don't be discouraged about that. I'm still with you, child of God. I'm for you. I still have things that are set before you that I want you to have. But just be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. So this message is to encourage you to lay aside discouragement, so that you can possess what God has for you. Number one, we can do that by hoping in God. Hoping in God, that means to expect God to help you and expect God to act on your behalf. No matter how things look, no matter how the situation is right now in your life, God says don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. I want you to hope in God. That word hope is not wishing upon a lucky star, but it actually means to expect God to help you. Expect God at any moment to act and move on your behalf. Don't be discouraged. Number one, hope in God. Look at Isaiah chapter 41.
Amen.
It's hard to get things done in life when you're discouraged. It's hard to get things done in life when you're terrified, when you're beaten down, when you have fallen to pieces. It's hard to get anything done. It's hard to possess what God has for you. So number one, hoping in God will help us to stay out of discouragement. That word hope, it actually means to expect God to act on your behalf. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 tells us to fear thou not. God says, for I am with thee. Fear not. God says, why should you fear? I'm with you. I'm with you. Fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. When any time God tells you he will do something, he's making you a promise. When he tells you I will or he shall, he's saying I promise. So right here he's saying, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Here's a promise from Almighty God. Yud Heh Vav Heh Yahweh, Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the whole universe. He's making a promise to you and I to help you, to move on your behalf, to strengthen you, and to help you. And he's promising this. He says, I will uphold thee. I know it looks like things are falling apart right now. Things don't look too good right now. The situation looks hectic right now. But I'm promising you that I'll help you. I'll strengthen you when you need strength, and I'll help you when you need help. I don't get off course. Don't turn to the right or to the left hand. Don't begin to run from the devil. You know, too many saints are running from the devil. The devil should be running from you. The devil should be running from you, child of God. We shouldn't be running from the devil. The scripture clearly tells us to submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you.
Yes.
We shouldn't be running from him. He should be running from us. Hope thou in God. He says, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Here's God promising to uphold you and to help you and to strengthen you. God tells us over in Psalm 46, verse 1, God tells us that he's a very present help in the time of trouble. Not to worry about anything. We don't have to be scared. He's a very present help over in Psalm 46, verse 1. He says, I'm your refuge. You want to run into me for help. Run into me. Come into me for help. I'm your refuge. I'm your refuge. Look what he says. Psalm 46 and verse 1. Look what he says. He says, God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. He's our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. So number one, the message is don't be discouraged. What will help us to be encouraged is hoping in God. Hoping in God. Expecting God to act on our behalf, to give us a helping hand. Psalm 34, verse 19, the scripture says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his trouble. Hope in God. For surely there is a future, and your expectation shall not be cut off. You're going to get what you expect. You're going to get what you're hoping for, what you're expecting to happen in life. You're going to get it. So we need to hope in God. Hope in God. Expect God to help us. Expect God to act on our behalf, to give us a helping hand. Don't be discouraged. Number two, we need to meditate on the record of God's goodness toward his children. God has always been good toward his children. Throughout Bible history, we see God helping his children, giving his children a helping hand, being good toward them. Oh, glory to God. So we need to meditate on the record of God's goodness toward his children. That will help you not to be discouraged. That will help you not to lose enthusiasm and to fall to pieces and to be terrified and afraid. Meditating, that means pondering on it and muttering it out of your mouth. Meditating, pondering on it, running that through your mind. Meditate on the record of God's goodness toward his children. God, throughout all Bible history, God has always taken care of his children. He's always been good to his children. So we need to meditate on this record of God's goodness toward his children. Look at Psalm 42. Psalm 42, and let's look at verse 6. Psalm 42, verse 6, the scripture says, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan." The psalmist is saying that his soul is cast down. He's having a difficult time right now. But then he says, "Therefore I will remember thee from the land of Jordan." I'm going to meditate on how you acted toward us in the land of Jordan. He says, "I will remember thee from the land of Jordan." I'm going to remember the things. I'm going to think on and meditate on how you treated me, how you treated your people in the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. See, during this time, he dried up the waters of the Jordan for his people to pass over on the other side to possess the promised land. He dried up the Jordan. Oh, glory to God. You see, the psalmist here, he began to meditate on God's record toward his goodness toward his children. Remember when God sent Moses into Egypt to deliver his children out of bondage, they had been in bondage for 400 years or more? And Moses went in, God had Moses go in and bring his people out. Well, on their way to the promised land, the Red Sea was there, and so to speak, in the way. God opened up the Red Sea, had them to cross over and go through on dry land. God has always been good toward his children. And we need to meditate on God's goodness toward us. What he has done for us throughout Bible history and throughout our lives, we need to meditate on the record of God's goodness toward his children. The Bible says the goodness of God that bring men to repentance. God is a good God, and his mercy endured forever. God is a good God. God's not looking to reach down from heaven and hit you upside the head with a baseball bat. No, God is a good God. He's a good God. He's looking to do good things toward his children. He desires that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God, he delights in the prosperity, the scripture says. He delights in the prosperity of his servants. God is a good God, and he has your best interest at heart. Meditate on the record of God's goodness toward his children. The message tonight is don't be discouraged. I'm showing you some ways that will help you to stay out of some things to do that will help you stay out of discouragement. Number one, hope in God. Number two, meditate on the record of God's goodness toward his children. God is and God has always been good toward his children. Look at Joshua chapter 4.
All right.
Joshua chapter 4, And let's read verse 23 and 24. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you, until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that mm-hmm. all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Meditate on God's record. Meditate on the record of God's goodness toward his children.
Yes.
And number three, ask God for help. Don't sit there and get discouraged. Just ask God for help. If you see that you're having a difficult time, ask God for help.
Yes.
One scripture makes it very simple. He says, we have not because we what? We ask not. Ask God for help. Jeremiah 33:3, God encourages us in the word in Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God says, call unto me. Ask me something. Ask me something. Call unto me. You need some help? Call unto me. And he promises right here that I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Call on God. He's listening. He's listening. I like Frasier. The program, the sitcom Frasier. And Frasier Crane, he has his own radio program and he says, I'm listening. That's what he tells the people. I'm listening. And that's what God is saying. I'm listening. Are you asking me for anything? Are you talking to me? God is listening, child of God.
Yes.
Psalm 34 and verse 6 says, this poor man cried, he called out to, he asked God for help. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Ask God for help. Look at Psalm 42 and verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. That's who we ought to be talking to. Our prayer should be to the God of our life. Ask God for help. Don't be discouraged. Number one, hope in God. Don't be discouraged. Number two, meditate on the record of God's goodness toward his children. And number three, ask God for help. And number four, praise God. Give thanks to God. Tell God how great he is. Boast in the Most High God. God gives you the garment of praise, the scripture says in Isaiah 61. God gives us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When we begin to praise God, that spirit of depression, that spirit of heaviness, it will lift off of us. God has given us the weapon of praise to lift that spirit of depression and heaviness off of us, that spirit of discouragement off of us. If you've noticed, when you begin to boast in God and tell God how awesome he is, and when you begin to thank God, when you begin to praise him and bless his name, God lifts that spirit of heaviness right up off of you. That's in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3. Psalm 42 and verse 4 says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. The psalmist came out of that discouragement, came out of that spirit of heaviness. He came out of that depression when he began to praise God. And that's what we got to do. We got to praise God. Don't be discouraged. Discouragement will terrify you. Discouragement will paralyze you. discouragement will cause you to lose your enthusiasm. It will cause you to fall to pieces, and you won't move on what God has set before you. God has some wonderful promises that are set before you. God has some wonderful things and a wonderful life that's set before you. But you'll miss out on that if you sit around discouraged. Don't be discouraged. It's a trick of the devil. It's an underhanded, low-down, dirty trick of the devil. He's trying to manipulate you and con you into being discouraged.
That's it.
Child of God, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. God is a good God, and he has wonderful things in store for you. Fifth and my final point, remember, this season, the hard season that you may be dealing with, remember, this season will come to an end. There's a song, they say, trouble don't last always, and it don't. trouble has an expiration date. Oh, glory to God. Trouble has an expiration date just like a carton of milk. A carton of milk will not last forever, ever. If you look on that carton of milk in your refrigerator, you'll see on that carton of milk that you will see on there an expiration date.
Expiration date.
Trouble has an expiration date. It won't last. Your season of suffering, it won't last. It has an expiration date. Remember, that horrible season that you may be in right now, it will come to an end. Don't be discouraged. Look at 1 Peter in chapter 5. First Peter in chapter 5, and look at verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a little while. See, your suffering is not going to last. God says it's only for how long? A little while.
He says
after you have suffered a while, just a little while, what will God do? God will come and what? Make you perfect. He will establish you and strengthen you and settle you after you have suffered a while. That tells you and I that suffering will end. I know the devil has us thinking that, hey, it's going to go on forever. But no, God's word tells us here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, that the suffering will come to an end. There's a time for everything under the sun. There's a season, a time and season for everything under the sun. The season of suffering will come to an end. Remember, your season of suffering is not going to go on forever. It has an expiration date. Don't be discouraged. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. For in my house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you so. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be discouraged. Hope in God. Meditate on the record of God's goodness toward his children, toward you. Ask God for help and praise God. And remember, the season of suffering that you may be in, it will come to an end. It has an expiration date. Keep yourself encouraged. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season, you're going to reap your harvest. If you faint not, don't be discouraged.
Amen. Don't be discouraged.
And that's what God wanted me to share with you tonight.
Amen. Well, we just want to praise the living God for the BCLC. And tonight, I have another brother that we know, and we thank God for him, Pastor William Irvin. Amen.
Hello, 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 everybody. How's everybody doing tonight?
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Excellent. Excellent.
Hey, praise God. Praise God. I'm glad to hear that. Happy Valentine's Day, in case you guys didn't get a card or anything, but, you know, I still love you.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, praise God. Amen, amen. Well, you know, tonight, you know, I want to continue on a little bit. I started on something last night on another broadcast, and, but God's right into my heart that this is some stuff that we need to understand, we need to know, and we need to really, really take a good look at it, and it's choices. You know, we make choices that determine our life. Good choices, bad choices. Sometimes we choose not to choose, you know, but it doesn't make any difference. They're choices. And, you know, we can go into the Bible and we can see a multitude of different kings that had made a choice. They made a choice to turn their back on the Lord and turn their back on the will of God, and how their kingdoms were destroyed and their lives were destroyed. And people, I know as you ministers, you probably got people say, well, how could there be a God be so mean that he would kill somebody? He would that he would allow them people to die, and you know that it's hard to sit there and try to tell them and say, now listen, God had given you a written word. If you wanted to read it, that Bible is a guideline. They say they're commandments, but it's a guideline. You know, he says, if you follow this path here, you know, and you stay on this path here, everything will be fine. You know, don't go to the left and don't go to the right. You know, don't stop and get a lag here or there, you know. Just keep going. Just keep going. Just stay on this path and just stay on this path and everything will be fine. And a lot of us, you know, we get weary in our walk, and then we start to sample and taste a little of this and a taste a little of that, and sometimes it tastes good and sometimes it's bitter. But, you know, those are choices. There's choices that we make. We make every day. You know, like I said, we make good choices, and sometimes we make bad choices. And then there's times where we just sit on the fence, you know, so hoping that the storm will pass. And you don't want to get involved, and you don't want to do this, you don't want to do that. Every one of us a choice. You know, it's just like King David. He had a choice, but he chose to sit there and go to bed with Bathsheba. And that choice that he made was a detrimental choice to his life. Because through that sin that he committed with a married woman, his best friend's wife, and had an adulterous affair, that his subsequently that he had his friend killed to cover up his sin. Those are choices that he made, and the consequences for that sin alone, it cost him dearly. It cost him that his daughter was raped by one of his sons from another wife. That another one that sat there wanted to kill him, and yet they had another son that sat and wanted to sit there and take over his kingdom, and thought his dad was no longer worthy to be a king, and turned him against David, and pursued after David to kill David. That was because of a choice that David made. But God still loved David more than anything.
Yes, he did.
He loved David. He watched over David. He watches over each and every one of us. Yes, we make mistakes. You know, but even in the midst of all that, when Naaman sat there and went before David and told him of the sin that he committed, that David got on his knees and And well, he asked God to forgive him, but the first thing he asked him, he says, "Lord, don't take your spirit from me."
From me. Yes.
Many times we just go and we say, "God, forgive us," and we go on. But we don't understand that we stepped out of his presence. We very seldom ever sit there and wonder about, you know, is he still with us? Yeah, he's there. But is he still with you? Because of the choice that you made. Did you leave that part of that inheritance with someone else? Did you cut off that part of inheritance because of the choice that you made? It was a bad choice that you made. Did you say, and have you, when you repented, was it repentance from your heart or was it just out of guilt? And the difference is in knowing, because God said there one time where, and this is the truth, God had said there, because I was such a rebellious child and I was such a wayward child, that when I started acknowledging that there was a God, and there was, and that he was real, and this is before I was in the ministry, that he literally put his thumb in the middle of my back and pressed me to the floor, and he held me there. And he held me, and he held me, and he held me, and he held me, and I'm telling you, until I finally cried out, and I said, "God, it hurts." And he says, "Now you understand." Because of the choices, because of the choices that I had made in my previous life, the choices that I had made, when I understood that there was a God, and yet I still had this rebellious streak in me, that I was still running and doing things and saying, "No, it's okay, man. I mean, God's got this thing. You know, we got this understanding." Well, the understanding was I didn't have an understanding. And many people are walking in that right now. They're walking in that, "Well, me and God's got this understanding." Yeah, the understanding is you don't have an understanding. And then when God finally sits there and he puts his hand upon you and he presses in on you until you cry out and say, "It hurts," then you know you have true repentance for the sins that you have committed. And you come to the point of understanding, okay, what is a true repentant heart? Now, I'm telling you this firsthand testimony here, guys. So, you know, and I know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
I've been there. And it hurts. God can sit and do things to you that you have no knowledge of knowing or understanding, to let you know that he means business. And then when you recognize that fact, once you recognize that fact, now you've got that repentant heart. Now you're open to the Holy Spirit. Now you're open up to be able to sit there and listen to what he has to say to you and what he has for your life and not what your flesh has for your life. See, these are choices. I could have still sat there and rebelled and sit there and said, "How dare you put your hand on me and do this and that and da-da-da-da," and gone on and on and on, and a reprobate mind that I would have been lost forever.
Yes. That's right,
so those are choices. Those are choices. You know, everything we do in life is a choice. And God gives us that free will choice. But he also said there he does everything he can possibly do to rectify your wrongs, to rectify your life, to rectify himself with you with an open heart, that you be able to truly receive him as who he really is and not who you want him to be. To get clarification of who God really is and who he is in your life. And then once you understand that, the choices that you make from that point on are a lot better choices. They're choices with a little bit of clarity. Yeah, we still stumble and we still fall. We still make mistakes. You know, sometimes we blurt out a word or two that's not really a pleasant word, but then we repent and we go on. But it's the understanding that those choices that we used to make and the choices that we make today are so much different. You know, we can sit there and look at, like I said, many, many times in the Bible where many, even priests, and there's other kings, like I said, who had figured that they were bigger and better than God. They've set the course where they didn't need God. And we're seeing this nation turning to that point that this nation doesn't need God. It is making a choice, and it's a bad choice in what it's making, because this nation, just like the rest of the world, is a government body that needs Christ. It needs the Lord. It needs God's governing body to sit there sustain life on this planet and in the nations, not just the United States, but in the nations of the world. It needs a governing body of Christ. That's the Christians. That's those who are believers of Christ, because they know the true word of God. They know the true meaning of God, and they know. And God has even spoke to me just even the last end of 40 months that I had with Him, just sitting with Him. And at the end, He sat there and says, "It's time to build the church." Not to bring reconciliation, not to bring reconciliation into the church, but it's time to build the church, because those who are going to sit and walk away are going to walk away. We can call them, we can hold them, we can do what we want, but if they're not true, have a repentant heart, and they do really, truly not have the true want or the knowledge and the understanding and be able to sit there and walk that path that God has given us and chose us and told us that we need to walk. You know, when Jesus healed the lepers and He started walking and the multitude were following behind Him, and He turned to them and He sat there and He said, "Okay, if you're going to follow Me, you're going to have to drink of My blood and you're going to have to eat of My body." And they all looked at Him like, "Man, you're whacked out. We're out of here." And they left. He had no problem of those people of leaving and walking away. Why? Because He had one rebellion in the kingdom of heaven. He's not going to have another one.
Amen.
So the purest of hearts are going to follow Christ. And the purest of hearts, God is going to take that remnant. He says it's time to build the church. He's going to take that remnant that is left. Those who have walked away, those who have fallen away, those who ran away, God's going to take what's left, and He's going to build His kingdom out of that remnant. I'm talking to the pastors right now to sit there and start concentrating on the remnant and start to build the church. Start
Amen.
To build the body of Christ. Start today.
Hallelujah.
Start rebuilding
Amen.
The body of Christ. And those who
Hallelujah.
Will come, those who will follow. Now, God, this is a word that God gave me. Like I
Thank
said,
you,
he,
Lord.
This is just right before, right after New Year's. And He gave me that word. He said, "It's time to build the church."
Hallelujah.
So, yes, it's time to build the church, is because we know that we're seeing what's coming about in this nation, and we're seeing what's coming about in the world, and we're seeing that everything that is coming, how we can see how the masses are really turning their back on God, and the kids that are coming up, the generation is coming up after this generation leaves office, after this generation is gone. It's going to be a perverse generation. It's going to be a worse generation than the one that's right here today. And I sat there and I looked at that and I saw that generation. I said, "My God, how can we reach them?" And God was silent. But He did say, "It's time to build the church." And He's going to take that remnant and He's going to build His kingdom. So I'm talking to the pastors right now. And those who are listening, those who are wanting to know and wanting to be into the kingdom of heaven, you're going to have to come in back into that fold with a repentance heart. You're going to have to come back into the fold today. You're going to have to sit there and know that you know. And know that the choices that you made, the choices that you're going to make right now at this moment, the choices that you've made in the past, you need to let it go. You need to return back to the first love. and you need to turn back today, because God is serious about his kingdom, and he's also serious about you, because he loves you, not because it's Valentine's Day. He loves you. He would not have sent his son to the cross to show us the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
He would not have sent his son to sit there and die for nothing. He has a purpose for each and every one I'm talking to right now. He has a purpose for our lives, and we need to be able to open up and be able to listen. Not ask, how can I, what can I, where can we, what can I, how's this, and how's that. We need to say, yes, Lord, here I am. Use me. I am here, Lord. What should you have me to do, Lord? I am yours, and you surrender everything that there is of yourself. Even if it is, it means that you walk away from everything that you have possession of, because you're not going to take it with you. Because God wants to build his kingdom, and he wants to use the church, and he wants to use those.
Amen.
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 So praise God. Yeah. You know, I've been on the phone with talking with some other people about this, and like I said, there's been the earthquakes and stuff that's been going around, you know, the world, and they're increasing, and they continue to increase. And God said they were going to, and he said there was going to be wars, and there's rumors of wars, and nation against nation, and it says race against race, and we're seeing it happen. We know the times. We see the times.
Yes.
And he says we're living in, and we are living in that time. And we got to quit thinking about ourselves, because God has already prepared. God has already prepared. All we need to do is trust him. All we need to do is believe in him. All we need to do is his will, what he wants us to do. Not what we want to do from this day forward, but what he wants us to do for his kingdom.
Amen.
Because he said time.
It's time.
It is time to build the church.
It's time.
So whatever remnants that is left in your churches, whatever remnants that you find on the street, whatever remnants that there is, pour what you have into them. Unite
Amen.
Them. Bring them together. And those who walk out the door, God forbid, but let them go.
Amen.
Because Amen. Jesus, like I said, had no problem, because he knows if they come in, they are going to be rebellious. They're going to be rebellious.
Come on now.
Even in your church, they're going to be rebellious in his kingdom, and he's not going to have them.
That's right.
He's not going to have them. So this is a stern warning to the body of Christ. You know, it's a stern warning, because, you know, even when we look and we look in the, and we look, In the where God talks about the 10 bridesmaids. The 10 bridesmaids is the church. 5 of them had oil on their lamps. 5 had little oil. And the keeper, the groom opened up the door, and the 5 who had oil on their lamps walked in. The 5 didn't run out to see if they could find oil. The 10 bridesmaids is the body of Christ. It was the church. Those who were full of oil, were full of the Holy Spirit, who had the Holy Spirit, walked in. Those who were not are the ones who are rebelling in the churches. They're the ones who are standing at the sidelines. They're the ones who are going, I told you so. I told you he was going to ask for money. I told you he was going to be like that. I told you he was going to preach that. I knew he was going to do that. Those are the rebellious ones. And the church, and the door that the groom had opened up was the gates of heaven. And who stood there at the gates of heaven, and who opened the door? It was Christ himself, because he was the groom.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the church is going, the other half is going to stay. So those who you know that you know that you know.
Amen.
Pour your heart
Amen.
Into them. Pour your life into them. Pour your spirit into them. Because those are the ones God is concentrating on. Those who are lost, they have a place. They're not, maybe they won't be going to hell, but they may end up going through the tribulations. And many will still come in. But what's known and what needs to be known, those in the rapture, those who are going to go, those are the ones that God is looking at right now. I mean, this has been what God has had on my heart for ever since, I think, right after the first of the year. And I really haven't had a lot of places where I can be able to speak this. Of course, we've been off the air for a little bit and off and on. So, in fact, a couple of times I was ready to preach this word, and unfortunately, we were off the air. So, but this is what God has given me. He gave me that
Amen.
First year. So I'm just passing this on to everybody who is willing to hear and willing to listen. And
good word.
Come to an understanding, because like I said, when God sat there and he said, I literally sat, my phone didn't ring, and it was odd because there was the 3 weeks or 4 weeks that we were off the air that I wasn't even preaching on the air. In fact, I was just by myself. My phone didn't work. The call for work, no nothing. For over 43 days, sitting, talking to God, nothing. And then I went
nothing.
To a New Year's Eve. I went to a all men's prayer vigil, and it was for the New Year's. And everybody was praying. We were all praying for one another, and we were speaking things over each other's lives, and things were going. And I went, God, this is dry. This is dry. There's something wrong. There's something missing. It's dry. And I sit there and I says, I love you. And it was like a little porthole had opened up. And those words, you almost see them in the spirit. Just go right through this porthole. I'm serious, guys. I literally seen it like it went right through a porthole. And the next day, Dr. Hunter calls me up and says, hey, you're going to be on the air. And then I had a couple of jobs that came in. It was everything
Amen.
That came back. So I know what I was talking about, and I know what I was saying, and the things that I was that I've just spoke to you tonight about. This is what God has put on my heart. This is what He told
Amen.
Me. And even at the same time, like I said, I was in that same situation. Well, how am I going to do this, Lord? How am I going to take care of that? How am I going to? I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. But, Lord, how am I going to, and then I started talking to him, just like I'm talking to you. We're just talking. And we begin the relationship, and we begin to talk, and I begin to listen to him. I begin to hear him, and I can hear his voice, and I've been listening to him. And with more clarity, and more clarity. And I'm going, okay, Lord, there's something stirring in the spirit, and I'm not sure because I was in a dry spot, and I know there's somebody that's in a dry spot, and they don't understand why. Nothing's happening. Nothing's working for them. The phones are not working. Nobody's calling. Nothing's happening. Well, now you need to listen. Now you need to sit there because God has given you the opportunity to listen. Take that time right now and begin to listen to Him. Talk to Him. Talk to him just like you would talk to anyone else. Just have a conversation. Hey, let's go have coffee, Lord. Oh, it's good to have you today. And just talk with him. And then begin to listen to him. Not what your needs are. Not what your desires are. Not what you think of what's going on in the world. Not this or not that. But listen. And listen very closely. Because he has a message for you. And I believe he's opening that porthole up. He's opening those messages up for all those who are in that spot, who are willing and wanting to listen. They know in their spirit there's something going on. Their spirit has been awakened, and they don't understand what it is. So right now, I'm telling you, be silent and listen.
He is.
Be silent and listen, because he's going to speak to you. So I don't know, guys. I don't know how much time I got left, but anyhow, that was pretty much my message. I just know that in my heart there was a
certain
message what God has brought forward, and this is something I know that needed to be said, and praise God. I started to speak on that last night on the other program I just started, and it was an anointing night last night. It really was. I had a woman on that. It literally, she was a product of a gang rape. Her mother was gang raped, and she has a ministry to save those children that are a product of gang rape, because there's so much stigma that is put on this person's life. And say, you don't want that child. You need to abort that child. That child's going to be evil. That child's going to be this. That child may end up being that, an axe murderer, or this might be this or that. And you know what? She's a minister, and she has a ministry, a great ministry, to save souls, to save lives, and to save these children. She knows there is five other men and women that she knows, or 11, excuse me, 11, who are ministers. They were a product of a very, very violent crime against their mothers, that they were the product of a rape. Instead of being aborted, they're saving lives.
That's what it's all about.
Amen, amen. Amen. And I had her on the radio show last night, and it was awesome. We had people calling in, and we were talking and praying with them. So it was a beautiful night. You know, like I said, God is using whoever he can, whoever he is willing to be able to listen. And
hallelujah.
And praise God. You know, I mean, just stay encouraged. That's all I can say, stay encouraged. And like I said, if you're in that dry spot and you're not understanding what it is, just know that you need to be silent and listen, because God wants to talk to you. He wants to speak to your heart. He has a message for you, whatever it is, and in the end, you'll be able to walk with a better understanding, better sight, and better knowledge, and to be able to hear clearly in the direction that he wants you to go, because you too are going to be part of that remnant that God is calling for his kingdom. That's all I know.
Amen. Well, you know,
Amen.
We just thank God, because we know there's some things going on. We got to pray about. We just got to pray about it, because God's kingdom is a now kingdom, not tomorrow. It's a now, and God is calling to greater works. So it's our hope and desire to do it. So, brothers, I'm going to say I'm gonna let you sign off, and I'm going to play some music for the rest of the time. And may God bless you.
Amen. God bless you.
God
Great
bless.
Word, Pastor.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Good night, Apostle.
Good night, Pastor. Good night, Pastor. Good night. Thank you.
Just be in God. Thank you. If you have moderate to severe plaque psoriasis,